Hello and welcome to Fun Kids Meet. It's Sean here, and this is the podcast where we bring you some of the most interesting people every single week. It can be anything from celebrities to authors. Sometimes they're celebrity authors, which is why we're chatting to Dermot O'Leary this week. And Bex was the one who met Dermot this week, and she joins us now. Hello, Bex.
Hello, Sean. What a slick introduction that was.
Thank you very much.
Wow, I'm very impressed. No, I did meet Dermot O'Leary, and he was a dreamy interviewee. I'm going to put it out there. He was one of the good ones.
He's been writing books about his actual real-life cat, Toto. And there's the his latest book. It's just hit paperback. Toto the Ninja Cat, Book 4. What was the behind-the-scenes of this one, Bex?
So behind-the-scenes, this was a Zoom chat. Obviously, we're all stuck at home right now, and that's the best way of doing it. I got to see his actual study, I believe, and he saw my living room. We had a bit of a chat about that. And
What was Dermot's study like?
It was bright and airy, and it was full and busy, and it just looked really lovely, and like you would want to do work there. He was great. Nothing I'm nosy.
Bright and airy just aren't the adjectives which usually spring to mind when I think of a study. I'm thinking mahogany and globes and leather-bound books and maybe the odd X Factor platinum disc in the background.
No, it was white walls, lots of shelves, lots of units in the background. I feel like I'm giving too much away now. But it was lovely. I had a lovely time talking to him. He was super fun, and he also did me a bit of a favour as well. I don't know whether to reveal what that favour is.
Oh, well, let's look out for that, I reckon. Yeah. And let's get the Fun Kids Meets Bingo in first. And this is where I guess what I think happened in the interview with Dermot O'Leary. So I think, because the book Toto the Ninja Cat is based on his real life cat, I think there's going to be stories about real life Toto.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to reveal too much, but okay. Yeah, sure.
I also think, Bex, because Dermot O'Leary, he is presenter of Realty. I reckon you're going to ask him for some sneaky tips. What are his top presenter tips?
How dare you? Are you saying I need some advice and some help to be a better presenter?
We can always learn, Bex.
Wow.
You're always learning. Even a master knows when it's time to learn.
I come on Fun Kids Meets to have a nice time chatting to my friend Sean about the fun things I've done, and I get you telling me I need to be a better presenter.
Wow, well, I reckon that's an opportunity missed if you didn't answer it, but I think you might be bluffing.
Right.
I think you might be bluffing. So I'm going to stick with that one. And also, I feel like that there is going to be some sort of chat about Simon Cowell somewhere. I think Cowell will get mentioned somewhere along the line.
Okay, you're thinking I've gone in heavy on the X Factor related goodness.
Maybe not heavy, just a little nod, just a little wink wink.
It'd be a shame to not do that, wouldn't it? To not acknowledge that he's a presenter on the X Factor. He's one of the biggest presenters in the UK.
Almost as much of a shame as it would be to not get presenter tips from Dermot O'Leary. But anyway, those are my guesses for Fun Kids Meet Bingo. Let's see what Dermot had to say this week.
So I'm joined down the line by Dermot O'Leary. Hey, Dermot, how you doing?
Hello. Hey, down the line, so much different now. It used to be like you speak to someone on the phone and be pacing around the room, where now we can see each other, which is so much nicer.
Well, here's a little behind-the-scenes snippet of how I live my life. I like saying down the line because I think it sounds really cool. That's the only reason I say it.
It does sound cool. I was thinking down the line sounds... I want to say down the line a bit more.
Sounds like we're in the 60s in a kind of like cool BBC documentary. That's kind of why I say it. So I have just finished reading your book, which I have right here.
Thank you. God, that was quick.
Well, it's a great book, so I read it very quickly. I loved it.
Much.
Also, I felt a bit like you'd written it specifically for me.
Correct.
Because I love cats. I love the history of London. And also, you wrote about a pond, which is where I visited nearly every day in lockdown in Hampstead Heath.
How funny. Isn't it? Do you know what? I've been very lucky in that this is the fourth book. And the first book, you sort of find your feet a little bit. And I wanted to write... It's a very simple idea, I think, to start with. I wanted to write a book kind of about, inspired by my cat, who's blind, but she's got these incredible reactions. So we used to call her Little Ninja. And then, so I turned her into essentially a ninja. And I thought then, after I got the first book under my belt, about this crime fighting cat, I thought, well, what sort of world do I want her to inhabit and live in? And I love London, and I've always loved, growing up, I loved all those wonderful kind of, movies and books about Victorian London, celebration Victoriana, whether it's Oliver Twist or My Fair Lady or, and And so that's kind of, it's a little nod to that as well. So I wanted to use London as a living, breathing city that animals live in at the same time as we're in. So, for example, I live around the corner from Regent's Park.
Right.
And there are, we've been here about 8 years now, and over the course of those 8 years, the parakeets have gone from, you see a couple maybe once a month, to they are everywhere.
Oh, right.
And so I've got one of my characters, actually in the second book, but I might use him again coming up, is Robert, who is... Who's a parakeet who lives in a Japanese elm, which is the trees they actually live in Regent's Park. And he's essentially a courier because they can run, because they can fly so fast. He takes animal messages.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Woodpeckergrams from one place to another for animals. So he appears in one of the early books. So I just wanted to use sort of all of London around and the animals that we find, make them part of a living, breathing city.
Because in this one, you have the ravens from the Tower of London. They're part
exactly, of it. Yeah. So Cyril, who's the head raven, chief yeoman at the Tower of London in animal form. So I want, you know, the world I've tried to create is that animals live alongside humans, but we just think that pigeons are a flock of pigeons eating some food. And actually, you know, exactly, they're a political party having a chat about and not really deciding about anything. Similarly, the ravens have been there, you know, since the tower began, and there's 24 of them, and they are like essentially, they're the SAS. They're an elite kind of squadron of or Spitfires, like let's say they're an elite kind of squadron of fighter pilots who guard the animal crown jewels. And I was lucky enough to do a tour there. Pete, the chief yeoman, gave me a little tour, so I go and take pictures, and then send those pictures to my illustrator to give him kind of food for thought, really.
Right.
So the combination of going to see Pete at the Tower of London, the Museum of London, which is a terrific museum.
It's the best museum in London. I love
so
it.
So underrated, isn't it? Because
yes.
it's not in Southwest London where all those other big museums are, those old Great Victorian museums. It's in the Barbican, so it's quite a new museum, and yet it gives you a wonderful insight into kind of Victorian and medieval London. Because the way the book structured, I set it at the start, which was the legend of Dick Whittington and his cat Tom. And obviously the legend is that Tom defeated the rats and wiped out the plague. But I wanted to kind of take that a little stage further. So there's a mystical necklace, I suppose, that he would wear that's been broken into two. And there they are, the animal crown jewels. And anyone that owns that necklace essentially is seen by the rat population as a deity, as a god, someone to follow. But Tom has realised that it's a bad thing. So he's put half in the Tower of London and half in an undisclosed location. And it's up to the direct descendant, who is Larry the 10 Downing Street Cat, to keep that secret. And then the crown jewels in the Tower of London go missing. Larry gets framed, and then Toto has to kind of almost break the law to try and get a boss out and prove his innocence.
I did love this book, and I could ask you a lot more questions, but I had a little chat with my friends at Clapham Manor Primary School, and they had questions for you.
Okay, yeah.
I thought I'd ask you some actual kid questions.
Now, hang on, who do you know there? What's your in with Clapham Manor Primary School?
I'm glad you asked. So I know Miss Sharkey, who teaches English to Year 6s, and I've given her a bunch of books recently, and I said, if you've got any questions that your kids want to ask, let me know, and they got involved.
Miss Sharkey, big shout out to Miss Sharkey and Year 6.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, the first one, let's see how you go with this. Amaya says, do you have dreams about your neighbour's cat being a ninja?
No, I don't. I mean, I have dreams about Toto and Socks, sort of her adopted baby brother. But last night I was up, you know, I've got a newborn baby. And actually last night I was up five times with the cats, because Socks likes to jump on Toto and sort of have play fights. And Toto, bless her, is blind, so she doesn't particularly handle that too well. So then I have to throw him out, and then he meows. And most of the time he's good as gold, but last night he was acting up a little bit, so I didn't get much time to dream at all last night.
A feline circus. And Naya says, and I guess we kind of know why, but Naya says, what inspired you to start writing books?
Well, I guess I've always written, because when you work in telly and you write your own scripts and you write ideas for shows and so forth. And but I've always I had a bit more time a few years ago, and I had a couple of ideas, and one idea was based around my cat. And then as soon as I started, you know, when I got sort of the two thumbs up and okay to do it, as soon as I started doing it, I just fell in love with it. And it's just a really enjoyable process. It's something similar and very different to what I do normally, because you feel like you're still communicating and you're creating, and that's a lot of fun. But I love the difference in shutting the door and locking yourself away for a whole morning. And it's always morning for me. I love working in the morning. And then, having an end product at the end of it. You know, I've interviewed so many musicians down the years, and finally I can kind of relate to that feeling of finishing their album and going, here it is. I want it back. I want it back. I want it back. You kind of like, okay, here it is. It's gone. And kids are I wouldn't say the most brutal critics, but they're the most direct, because you write a book and you know, it's very important to you, and the devil's in the detail, obviously. But I think when kids read it and they really absorb it, I get kids coming up to me at book readings and going, in chapter two of the second book, when Toto crossed the bridge, was the bridge made out of concrete or wood? And they go, what? I don't know. And in your head, you're thinking, wow, this kid knows more about my books than I do. And I wrote them.
On a similar note, I guess, Natalia says, what's your favourite part of writing books?
Well, it's a good question, Natalia, because they're so different. So I love the early stages that I'm going through now with book five, where I start to jot down ideas and so forth. And then when I know that I've got the time to write it, then I'll send my ideas in a what you call a story arc to my editor. And then, you know, when I get the go ahead for that, then I guess my favourite bit is actually the sort of shutting the door and writing. But then I love touring it afterwards. I love being able to talk about it. I love publication day, which is today, which is always very exciting. So it's a kind of a gift that keeps on giving.
Aris didn't really go down the book route. Aris just says, do you play Fortnite?
To be honest with you, I do. I wouldn't, it's not out of principle, because I would play it, but I love games. I love gaming, but I quite like gaming on my own. So I quite like the idea of when I was a kid, you'd go around Neil Butler's house and we would play on this old ZX Spectrum, and there'd be four or five of us. And that was actually, I never understand when people say games aren't sociable. I think they're really sociable, because yeah, they're different to books, but they're just as important in many ways. And I used to love my gaming time with my mates, but I quite like to immerse myself in, I love the escapism of it. So I quite like to immerse myself in a world of like a big long story arc of a game. And at the moment, obviously with a kid and so forth, it's quite difficult to do any of that. So
yeah, probably not top of your priority list.
Yeah, that's kind of on hold right now. I can't really turn around to my wife and go, I'm just going to get a PlayStation for 2 hours. Is that all right?
She'd be like, yeah, of course, go. That seems totally fine and normal and reasonable. Yeah, of course. We did have a question, because somebody says, quite optimistically, can you remember a page from your book? If you can you recite it? So I thought, maybe I'll not ask you to recite a page, because that seems quite a lot. But maybe just read it a little
really
bit.
Really good and hard question.
Yeah.
In my head, if you gave me a day, I'd probably be able to do it. But bearing in mind there are 20,000 words, the idea that I can remember one page offhand of a, how many pages are there? Almost just shy of 200, 175.
So, Dermot, they have high expectations.
No, I can't. I wish I could.
Well, Dermot, thank you so much for chatting to us. I know you're super busy, so I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on. I really like it. So thank you. It's been nice to chat.
Yeah, likewise. And for the fifth book, hopefully I will see you in person.
Absolutely.
Fingers crossed. Have a lovely rest of your day.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Dermot O'Leary, 10 out of 10, lovely man, to the surprise of absolutely no one.
What a dreamboat. He was super chatty. I honestly could have spoken to him all day, but we had an allotted time and I had to log off. Yeah, he was super lovely.
Excellent work from Dermot O'Leary. So let's go to the Fun Kids Meets Bingo card and see how he got on. There were stories, real life stories about Toto and some of the stuff that she gets up to.
Yes, like you said, I mean, that was very clever of you to notice, but the character in the book is based on his cat in real life. So yeah, he's got a lot of stories to work with.
Excellent stuff. And no request for presenter tips, Beth.
Yeah, now you've said it. I'm kind of annoyed I didn't ask, to be honest. I thought it might be a little bit unprofessional to mention it, but you know what? I should have just snuck in a sneaky question. Proof, in fact, that I do need those presenter tips if I didn't ask him that question.
I just love that you have the confidence to back yourself to be on the level of Dermot O'Leary, that you don't need his advice. I just respect that. I respect the confidence.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm just playing the game and playing it to the best of my ability.
And no mention of Cowell. Very good. Well done. Didn't give him the satisfaction.
Yeah. I now regret it. Again, I feel like I should have done that. When you said did you mention Simon Cowell, I thought, ugh, I should have done it.
Hey, these aren't interview topic suggestions, Bex. This is just Sean playing Fun Kids Meets Bingo. This isn't me critiquing your interview techniques.
Well, it does feel like a meeting with the Fun Kids boss. No, we didn't mention Simon Cowell. I felt like Simon Cowell maybe not as relevant to Toto and the Ninja Cat. That's what I thought.
So there we go. I thought I did reasonably okay on the Fun Kids Meets Bingo, and it was glorious having Dermot O'Leary on the show. And of course, if you want to hear more about what happened to Toto, the Ninja Cat, and the Mystery Jewel Thief, well, you're in luck, because we're currently sharing the story on our Story Quest podcast, so you can start listening to it right after this. If you fancy, go and check out the Fun Kids Story Quest podcast to hear Toto the Ninja Cat and the Mystery Jewel Thief. Make sure you subscribe to Fun Kids Meets, and we will have someone interesting for you next week. Bye-bye.